I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was mine till I met. I was breathing, but not the light. All my failures I've tried to hide. It was my turn till I met you. You called my name and I ran. Glorious day.
Amen. Let's give God all the glory tonight.
Before we do this next song, we're gonna need a little bit of a moment to swap out. But we've got some of our youth that are going to be coming and singing and playing with us. So you guys just encourage them. It's such a blessing and an honor to have them up here on the stage with us, sharing the talents that God has given them and blessed them with. So you guys sing with us. This isn't just for us to sing to you. We want you to sing along with us. So. Good. All right. Let it rip, buddy.
We all need a Savior. joy we share. What else compares? It's like nothing I've ever known. Oh, He walks with me, He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own.
Oh, yes, I am.
The joy.
Praise the holy name of the Lord tonight. Come on.
While the young people are making their way out, if you would, grab your copy of God's Word, turn to Matthew chapter 13. The passage tonight is a parable. It'll cover verses 1 through 23. And tonight starts a new series that I'm very excited about, being a lover of stories. We're going to be in the parables until further notice. No one can agree on how many parables Jesus told, but it's somewhere between 30 and 40-something parables. I don't know that we'll do 30 or 40 weeks of parables in a row, but we're going to do it until the Lord leads us in another direction. So tonight will be our first parable that you're going to be familiar with. I was in a hunting club when Bethany and I first got married, and at the end of summer, it was always time to go down there and plant green fields. And all of our green fields were in the woods. To get a tractor to the green field was like a miracle to be able to get it because, man, these are old logging roads and stuff. And so we would go in there and do our very best to get a tractor in there and kind of disc the ground up a little bit. But you did what you could do. And then it was time to plant. And you'd throw that seed bag on and that whirly bird. And in good faith, you'd fill it full of seeds, and you would just walk back and forth and spread those seeds on that ground, whether it was plowed or whether it was not. And in the fall, you would come back to hunt that green field, and you would see that, you know, you'd strewed seed all over it, but over there in the logging road, there really wouldn't be any seeds. And part of the green field that you didn't get plowed up real good, there wouldn't be any grass or anything growing there, but those few spots that were disced really well, what would be growing there? Be good green grass, just like that you had intended to be there. The difference was not the person spreading the seed. I was the one seed planter, and I walked back and forth. So that wasn't the difference. The difference of whether the grass was growing or not was the ground that that seed fell in. Today, the same word that changes one person's life can leave another person totally unchanged, sitting right here on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. Two people can sit in the same room, hear the same sermon, read the same passage. One will leave convicted, ready to obey. The other one leaves exactly like they came in here. But Jesus teaches that the response to God's word depends upon the condition of each of our hearts that hear it. It's the heart. God's word bears fruit in a heart that truly receives it. That's the central truth that we need to know tonight. So what is a parable anyway? A parable takes something familiar from an ordinary life circumstance and it places it right beside a spiritual truth. and Jesus is the master at it. And parables were not merely to entertain, they were to teach an important lesson. The question tonight for us in this parable is not whether you can identify the four soils. I'm sure you're familiar with all these four soils. That's not the goal. What we need to know tonight is which of these soils describes you. My whole life up until studying this, I always use this passage as, well, this is how I look at the people that will be hearing the gospel when I share it with them. That was the only way that I ever looked at this passage. Well, I need to be kind of prepared. This person might hear it. This person might hear it. No. I'm the soil each and every day. However, it's my heart posture when I enter into God's word or when I listen to a sermon, it's going to fall on one of these soils. And so tonight, that's what I would encourage you to do. Don't consider this just as a gospel sermon of people that you're going to share the gospel with and how they respond. I'm asking, how are you going to respond? How are you responding in here, outside of here, in your private time? What is the soul of your heart at this time of your life? Our first truth is the hard heart hears the word, but never receives it. The hard heart hears the word, but never receives it. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. And Jesus, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. If you're not careful, you'll miss this first one and go right to the next one. But this is where it first starts. Some seeds fell beside the road. So these seeds never get beneath the surface. They lay there on top of the ground. If you've ever planted a green field, this is just vivid. And that's why Jesus does this, because we can see it and understand it. The paths surrounding their fields have been walked on repeatedly. And what happens to ground when you walk on it over and over and over again? It gets just beat down and hard. You think of any cow trail that you've seen through a pasture. What is that dirt like? It's hard as a rock. There's nothing growing on it because it's so beat down and hard. The traffic packs it down, and the seed lands on this ground, but it cannot enter the ground. And entering the ground is the critical part. Jesus explains in verse 19 that this represents the person who hears the word of God, the word of the kingdom, but does not receive it. The evil one comes and snatches away what is sown there on top of the ground. So the word reaches the ears, but it never enters into the heart. Repeated resistance can harden a heart until God's word does not penetrate it. Have you ever been there? You had something so bad happen that you just didn't, I don't want to hear the Bible. I don't want to talk about Christianity. I don't want to hear anything. Your heart is hard. Your heart, that's difficult. Heart is hardened. Therefore, it's not penetrating. It's not limited to somebody who doesn't know the Bible. A person can sit in this church Wednesday, Sunday, week in and week out for years and still develop a hard heart. Just because you're here doesn't mean your heart is supple. Just because you walk through that door doesn't mean that your heart suddenly becomes in a good condition to receive God's word when you get in here. Familiarity with the word is not the same as receiving the word. Hearing it, no, it's not the same as receiving it in here. We can become so accustomed to hearing biblical truth that we stop allowing it to confront us, convict us. We think, oh, I've heard that before. Oh, he's preaching on this passage again. Oh, goodness, how many times are we going to go over? How long are we going to be in Philippians, Pastor? I mean, it's only four chapters. And never be willing to listen to what God has to say in that one verse, that one word, in that one verse with a hard heart. When we get there, it becomes like a road that's been walked over so many times that nothing gets beneath the surface. Hebrews 3:15 tells us, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Because if we're ever going to get anywhere with God's powerful word, we can't have a hardened heart. Every time God speaks, we face a decision. Are you going to hear it and receive it, or are you going to hear it and reject it? That's basically what it comes down to. Is there an area of your life where you've already decided not to listen to God? I say, God, I love you, but this is, you're out of this area. And if you have a hardened heart in an area and you're not letting God's word penetrate it and change your life, tonight could be the night where you can change that. Stop approaching Scripture as words to evaluate and begin approaching it as God's authority to obey. A hard heart hears God's word but refuses to let it enter. Our second truth tonight is the shallow and crowded hearts respond, but never endure. Respond, but do not endure. Let's read 5 through 7. Others fell on rocky places where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. So not every visible response produces lasting fruit. Let's talk about the rocky soil first. Jesus says some seed fell on rocky places where there was little soil. It springs up quickly because the soil was so shallow. But when the sun rose, the plant was scorched. Why? Because it had no root to get down to the moisture of the soil. This time of year, you can identify people's septic tanks at their houses, in their yards. Why can you identify people's septic tanks? You see perfect squares out there in what was a beautiful yard. Why? There's no depth of soil there. And so if there's not moisture right there in the very top, it just dies. Metaphorically, that kind of represents an emotional response in a service. You get in here, the music moves you, something about God's word moves you, you're super excited, you're ready to go, but then as soon as you walk out, it's like, well, I was in there. That was a good time while I was in there, and I'm just going to get back to what I'm doing when I get back out here. Or worse, when affliction or persecution comes, because of the word, the person falls away, denies it. Following Jesus was attractive when it felt good. It became unacceptable when it became costly. That's why Jesus said time and time again, count the cost of following me, because it will not be easy. And this is a tough truth. The pressure doesn't reveal that we don't have a lack of roots. The pressure just exposes it. It does. The pressure doesn't mean, it doesn't dictate, sorry, I'm having a hard time with my words. The pressure doesn't dictate whether we have short or long roots. The pressure just reveals which ones we did have. Let's talk about the thorny soil. Other seed fell among the thorns. The seed began growing, but the thorns grew with it and eventually choked it. Jesus identifies the thorns as the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth. One lives under control of fear. The other lives under control of possessions. Both become so occupied with temporary concerns that the word itself becomes unfruitful to them. The thorny heart does not openly reject Jesus. It simply gives everyone else enough room to crowd it out to where it eventually dies. A temporary response to God's word is not the same as enduring faith. The shallow heart wants the joy of Jesus without the cost of following him. The crowded heart wants Jesus without removing the possessions and the things of the world. But here's the thing about both of those souls and situations. Neither one of them produce any fruit. James 1:22 helps us out here. It says, prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers. The evidence of spiritual life is not that we enjoyed hearing the word. The evidence is that the word completely changes how we live, act, think, and conduct ourselves. Anyone can make a promise during an emotional moment. I couldn't tell you how many times I have. As a teenager, man, I would get in there and I'd be making God all kind of promises. Boy, I'm going to change this. I'm going to do this. It's going to be different now. An hour later, you wondered if I'd ever been to church before. The test comes when the emotion is gone and obedience becomes difficult. It's easy while we're in church to decide who we're going to forgive, that we're going to resist the next temptation, we're going to repair a relationship, we're going to make that phone call, we're going to change a habit. But where are you at when you get to Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Did it make a change or did it not? So what pressure, worry, pursuit, distraction is choking your response to God's word today? We all have them. I have them. I think we need to be honest if we're going to grow. If we really want to have fruit for the kingdom, we need to be honest with ourselves. What are those thorns that are just taking over in our lives? The greatest threat to our spiritual life may not be an obvious act of rebellion. It may be a life so crowded that the voice of Jesus is continually pushed aside or it cannot even penetrate. I think a good challenge would be for us to evaluate and remove that one recurring distraction that constantly takes you away from Jesus. What is it? It may be something that's not inherently bad. It may be something that's just neutral. But if it's taking you away from Jesus all the time, you can't get quiet time, you can't get prayer time, to lay that down. Our third truth is the receptive heart hears, understands, and then right here's the key, it bears fruit. Look at verses 8 and 9. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Good soil does more than receive the seed. You know what the good soil does? Produces fruit. Why do you plant a garden? What's the purpose? Do you plant a garden to have something to go out there and hoe every day? To go and tiller? Some place to go and sweat? No. You plant a garden so that it grows fruit. Squash, zucchini, cucumbers, okra, tomatoes, green beans. The good stuff. The receptive heart does three things. It hears the word. That's number one. The person listens with a willing heart, a supple heart. He is not merely waiting for the sermon to end. Pastor, come on. It's been 25 minutes, 30 minutes. Can you not say what you need to say in less than 20 minutes? What are we still doing here? Everybody's going to beat us over the top hat. Is that a receptive heart? No. Not how are you supposed to get God's word if you can't quit thinking about the French fries? He believes God has spoken and that His word deserves attention. Secondly, it understands the word. Understand means more than memorizing. I'm so thankful that this is true. Because if there was a competition of who had the worst memory in here right now, it would be me. Y'all don't even need to get in the competition. I can't remember what I did before I came to church tonight. It is awful. But I've been around people in so many conversations that will boast about how much Scripture I know. This many verses. I can recite the whole first chapter of the book of John. That's great. What does it mean? Well, verse one is this. No. That's great. I can read it. Thank God. I got the Bible because I can't remember it. But what does it mean? And once you learn what it meant, what did you do with that information besides go around and recite it for other people to think? You know who knows more scripture than any of us? The devil. It's more than memorizing. We need to understand it so that we can apply it if we're ever going to have fruits of righteousness and glorify our Father. The one who understands the word grasps what Jesus is saying and responds in obedience. Thirdly, it bears fruit. The word, without a doubt, produces visible change in the life of a believer. Now, is it going to be instant, like a microwave? That has not been my experience. I'm thankful the Lord is patient, and I'm thankful He's graceful, and I'm thankful He's merciful, because it has taken a long time for me to even get to this place. But the bottom line is that you should be able to look back and see that the Word has been working and producing and forming you closer and closer into the image of Christ. If that is not true, there is a problem, because the Word of God is too powerful to not be effective. Now, the amount of fruit differs, Jesus says. It says some produce 30-fold, some 60, and then we got the heavy hitters, 100-fold. But does He chastise the 30 and say, well, you did 30, but look at the 100. You did 60, but look at the 100. You did 60, you did better than the 30. No, we don't see it. We just see that it produces. And it's good to have the fruit. Not every Christian grows at the same pace. Not every Christian has the same opportunities. I saw a post the other day, and now I'm not even going to be able to think about it. Oh, yeah. So it said, well done, good and faithful pastor. And then it was marked out. Well done, good and faithful deacon. And then that was marked out. Well done, good and faithful song leader. And then that was marked out. And all it went through this whole list. And down at the bottom, what did it say? Well done, good and faithful servant. It's not about position. It's about a serving as God has given us to serve. The evidence that God's Word has taken root is not momentary emotion, but it's lasting fruit. What does that look like? Here's some possibilities. A changed attitude. Changed priorities. Changes in what you desire. A heart that repents more quickly. A heart that forgives more freely. A heart that serves more often. And a heart that obeys more consistently. That is fruit. And just to be clear, I think y'all understand my position on this, but fruit does not earn salvation. We're not working to earn our salvation. Fruit is products of God working in us. Because without Him, without His seed, are we ever going to produce any fruit? Absolutely not. Jesus says in John 15:5, He who abides in me and I in him is the one who bears much fruit. So if we're ever going to produce any fruit, we've got to be abiding in Jesus Christ the vine. The power is not found in our human effort alone. Life comes from Christ. The receptive heart receives His Word, remains in Him, and allows His life, Jesus' life, to produce what cannot be manufactured by us. So we're not going to measure spiritual health by how many Bible stories that we know, by how many years we've attended church. We're going to measure it by how much Spirit-produced fruit is growing from our lives. Again, it's not by our work. This is the Holy Spirit doing working through us, because it's planted in a fertile soil of our heart. What is God's word presently producing in your life? Any fruit? Can you identify something that's changing because you're following Jesus? If you're following Jesus, you're going to be changing. If you're going step for step with Him, things are going to be different. One thing is we can obey one clear truth from God's word before seeking another. I like to get ahead of myself. Some of y'all may like to do that. But if God has brought one spiritual truth to your life, recently been convicted you on that spiritual truth, that may be something He's wanting you to work on, that one spiritual truth. Putting mental, physical energy on getting that right and not worrying about everything else. So let's get this one right and then we can take the next step. If He's been doing that in your life, I want to encourage you to go forward with it. A receptive heart hears the word, understands the word, and allows the word to produce lasting fruit in its life. So we come back to the beginning. What kind of soil are you tonight? The hard heart resists the seed. The shallow heart responds temporarily. The crowded heart allows other things to choke it out. Only the receptive heart produced any fruit. It's not a question of whether the seed's good, right? And the same sower went throughout the passage. So the seed's not different, the sower's not different. Again, the only difference is the soil that the seed landed in. The hope for us tonight is that hard ground can be broken. Amen? Rocks can be thrown out of the field. Thorns can be pulled up if you're wearing gloves. Or you got a good front end loader. Those are helpful as well. Sometimes you need that. And our last hope is that a heart can become receptive to God's word. Are we willing to have the plow run through us a little bit? Break up that ground. Ask God to keep you tender and bearing fruits of righteousness. But a non-believer tonight, you cannot plow it up. You cannot do this work. For somebody in here tonight that's never come to faith in Christ, that has had that hardened heart, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. It is a prayer to God to ask you, to ask Him to make your heart supple so that it can receive His word and that you can be forgiven and have eternal life. And that He will come into your heart and do a work and completely change you so that you can produce fruits. Because once again, without Jesus, no fruit is possible.